Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Precious Blood River Radio family, just in case you're tuning in, you're listening to the second hour of Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and we have two of the most amazing people on we've ever had on this show, two of the most amazing people probably in the world. And I'll just give a brief documentary here, what you want to say, a brief narrative of what's been going on. People, what we have here in the world at this time, we are fighting against Satan himself. The devil, he is the father of all lies. Like the Bible says, the truth is not in the devil. The devil is the father of all lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it to himself. In people, he's really incapable of telling the truth. Like God works through human beings here on earth. If you want to say ministers and what have you, people like Miss Monica and Miss Jurgen, myself, we're trying to do good. Well, see, Satan does the same thing. Satan copies everything that God does. And Satan is working through people here on earth. And you know what? You can argue with me all day long, but Jesus Christ told them, you'll hear me say this again, I've said it before, Jesus Christ told the scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he looked them in the eye and told them that they were of their father the devil, and they would do the devil's will. So that's what we're seeing here, people, basically. We're seeing the lies spread and the persecution by the Jews of the world. And you know what? If a Jew wants to give up all of his lies and accepts Christ as his Savior, he can do that. But precious few will. And people, these Jews are hounding us. They control the entire world. We can prove that. I wish we had a couple of hours on the radio. A couple of weeks, we could prove it. But what we're dealing with, what Miss Monica would say, we're dealing with the linchpin lie. Probably the biggest lie that we've been told probably in 125 years is the Holocaust. And I won't go into detail of why it's such a big lie and why it's so harmful to our people. But just believe that. It comes from their father, the devil. We are fighting the devil. And the devil, like to repeat myself, we're fighting these Jews who are they're doing their father's work, the devil. And the whole damn thing is a lie. George Orwell talked about it. So that's what we're doing. We're fighting the devil right now. And with that, people, just in case you're tuning in, we have Miss Monica Schaefer on tonight. She's pretty much running this show tonight. She's interviewing Mr. Jürgen Neumann, and he's doing a fantastic job. He was born in Germany. He immigrated to Canada. He was the right-hand man with Mr. Ernst Zundel, and he's been telling all about how he came to know Mr. Zundel and all the work he did with Mr. Zundel, uncovering this devil's lie, the lie of all lies. And I'll continue on with that. Miss Monica, go ahead and take over, and Mr. Neumann.
Okay, thank you. So you're quite correct that the Holocaust is a linchpin lie. And with the success of that lie, and I put that in quotation marks, the Jews were able to pull off 9/11. And I would say that this lie that we are living right now with the COVID narrative, it could very well overtake as the biggest lie ever. But it only is happening because of the success of this past lie, the linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Now, for me, I didn't wake up to that lie till quite late in life, and it was only after I figured out 9/11, and that was 10 years after 9/11, and then I started looking into what happened before that and discovered that lying was not invented in 2001. And then I did a little apology video to my parents, and I called it Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust, in which I simply apologized for having reprimanded my mother when I was a teenager learning about all these so-called horrors that happened in Germany, And I said, why didn't you stop all that from happening? Why couldn't you get together and organize with your friends and family and neighbors to stop all that from happening? And she said to me, we just didn't know. Monica, we just didn't know. And that would be very similar to Jürgen's father, who you relayed earlier in this interview, that when you asked him once about the Holocaust, he said, yeah, that was a tragic episode in German history, but not knowing, like, because they got fully indoctrinated, and George Orwell calls it re-educated, and that's what the Jews also called it, is to re-educate the German people, and that's where the re-education, in quotation marks, really was the strongest, the harshest. The occupying forces after World War II, and let me also say that Germany is not a sovereign nation, and they never did sign off. They'd never signed a peace agreement at the end of World War II, and so it's still occupied, and it's still not a sovereign nation. And the victors of the war basically took full control of the media and the schools, the curriculums, everything. And so the people there were completely re-educated, as in, well, a la George Orwell style. So they were taught a completely false and upside down and inverted history, which is a tragedy. It's not only a tragedy in its own right, but the generation gap that it has caused, and all the German people who then think, oh, their parents or grandparents were monsters, were horrible people, just, you know, this is, and nothing could be further from the truth. Now, for me, I will cut it short so that we can go back to Jürgen, but after I did this little video in 2016, it's just 6 minutes long, called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. Well, that really changed my life, and I won't go into that too much now, because we've talked about that before here on this show. But one of the things that people would say to me, they would say, Monica, have you ever been there? You've never been there, so how do you know? And they're talking about Auschwitz, because I indeed have not been there. I don't think that's an impediment to learning about what happened or didn't happen, because basically what they show there to the tourists coming through is whatever they want to show them. Now, this is where I want to bring you back in, Jürgen, because you had the good fortune, the privilege, the honor, I guess you could say, to go over and be hands-on. You weren't just going over as a tourist, but as the cameraman. Tell us about that. I think you told me you were four times over there. So tell us a little bit about that, please.
Miss Monica and Mr. Jürgen, now the cameraman, that was the cameraman for Ernst Zundel. Is that correct? Am I wrong?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that's correct.
Go ahead,
okay,
Jürgen.
Okay. I just want the audience to know that Mr. Jürgen was with the one and only Ernst Zundel over there in Germany, going through all this scientific investigation. We, like Miss Monica said, we had Mr. Fred Loyster on a couple of weeks ago, and he is an engineer. Mr. Loyster is certified in Canada and the United States and some parts of Germany as the expert on gas chambers and all things dealing with capital punishment. So Mr. Jürgen Neumann was there for the entire ride. I wanted to emphasize that. Go ahead, Mr. Jürgen.
Yes, needless to say, revisionists have a hard time finding any support out there for doing some work, etc. And one of these people who was having a hard time finding help for doing the program thing that he wanted to do was a man by the name of David McCaldrin. How many people recognize that name? But he was one of the founders of the Institute for Historical Review, and later on founded another thing called Truth Missions. And what he wanted to do, he wanted to go and do videos. He wanted to go and visit all the former concentration camp sites in Europe, in Poland, right? But he couldn't find any cameraman or anything that would want to do a revisionist tour of that thing. So he talked to Ernst, and Ernst loaned me out to him because I'm fortunate for him.
Would you repeat
right?
that? Oh, Would you repeat that fellow's name one more time, Mr. Juergen? My ears are shot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, his name
Mr.
is
Mr. David. What was his name?
McCalden.
McCalden. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Sorry to interrupt.
So this was my first trip there. So him and another young American lawyer by the name of Andy Allen, the three of us went to Poland in order to check this out. Andy Allen was a very interesting man because he was really, really smart. When we all flew in, we flew into, we got on the plane in New York, and none of us spoke Polish. All that. So Andy went and they bought himself a Polish phrase book in one of the stores at the airport. And by the time we got over there, he was doing pretty well. I was totally blown away because Polish is not an easy language to learn. Well, anyway, we got there. And so we went to Auschwitz and we went to Birkenau and we went to Majdanek and we went to the sites of Sobibor and Belzec and Treblinka and so on. Did a whole cook's tour of the whole place. And I'll tell you, by the time we finished there, I mean, I already knew that the Holocaust was a hoax, basically, but that really cemented everything. The actual going there totally was the last straw to convince me that it was all a hoax. You know, I mean, we found all kinds of interesting things. The biggest building in Holocaust.
Mr. Juergen, please apologize. I apologize. We have to go to a quick break, Mr. Juergen. Please do not lose that thought. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. That worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I hope you don't get tired of me calling you Dear Blood River Radio family, but you are so precious to us here. And without further delay, we're going to go right back to Mr. Juergen Newman. We also have Miss Monica Schaefer on tonight. She's kind of running this interview tonight with Mr. Juergen Newman. He's just so chock full of incredible facts. I'm hanging on my seat. I'm really enjoying this interview, just like you people out there. I'm just like a listener. Go ahead, Mr. Juergen. Please continue on.
Yeah, so we were doing our investigations of Auschwitz, Birkenau. And that was the first time we got into the so-called sauna building, which is not open to the public. But as we walked around it, one of the windows were broken. So we thought, okay, fine, we can sneak in here, which we did. And you walk in there, and it's quite an amazing place. All the showers for the people, all the de-lousing equipment, et cetera, that's in there. It's just amazing place. No wonder they don't want to show it to anybody. And just not too far from there was one of the things that really got to me, and that is a sewage treatment plant. They had this big sewage treatment plant there for Auschwitz-Birkenau. Now, why do you need that if all you're going to do is exterminate people? You know? And I know what an sewage treatment plant looks like because I used to be a tradesman, a pipe fitter and so on, and I worked at sewage treatment plant, and it's quite obvious what it was. So anyway, it was a very interesting trip. And what was very interesting was on the way home again, sitting there, we didn't get, because of the seating and all that, bunch of people on the plane, we didn't get to sit together. So I got to sit beside some elderly woman who was in her late 60s, I think, or around 70. And she was American from Florida. And so we were talking, you know, where are you coming home from, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, I was going here, going there, doing this. And she asked me, I said, well, I was in Poland. Yeah, what were you doing there? And I told her, we were out to look at the concentration camps, Auschwitz. And she right away goes, ooh, Auschwitz. You know? I thought, oh, this should be interesting. So I got, yeah, good to see there. And here's what I saw. You know, way over at the side where the tourists never go because they're never taken there. Guess what's there? She said, what? She's expecting something really nasty. I said, it's a swimming pool for the inmates. Shock on her face, of course. What do you mean? Maybe there's a swimming pool there for the inmates. It's obviously for the inmates. They didn't say it's for the inmates because it's inside the inmates' part of the camp, not outside where the SS might use it or whoever. And so she said, wow. And I told her about the kitchen. I told her about the theater. And she just looked at me and said, are you trying to tell me it didn't happen? I said, no, I'm just trying to tell you what's there. So, and I told her about the kind of one or two other little things. And eventually she looked at me and she said, I'm not trying to tell you it didn't happen, but look at all the evidence. What do you think? And you know what she said? I'm going to quote, pardon my language, but it's a quote. She looked at me and she said, why those fucking Jews? I almost fell out of my chair. I couldn't believe that this lady would talk like that, you know. But she turns out she lives in Miami Beach or someplace where there's a lot of Jews, and I guess she wasn't overly surprised. You know, she obviously knows what they're like, you know. So anyway, that was kind of the icing on the cake of the trip.
And we got back. Isn't that something? You know, I'll just interject here. I just find it so amusing that people who were calling me out for my little video, they were basically accusing me that I don't know anything because I've never been there. Now we're talking to somebody who's been there, and you say that is what really was the final straw. You already kind of knew, but then when you looked around, it was the final evidence for you that it was obvious to you that this wasn't a death camp. Yes, it was a concentration camp, but not a death camp. So carry on, Jürgen. This is really, really interesting. Thank you.
So when we came back, we edited together four videos out of the trip. And you can find them on my BitChute site on the Internet if you're interested. David McAuldin's trip to Poland. And anyway, after that, then along came the second trial.
Could you give, Mr. Jürgen, how do you get into that, your BitChute outfit? Tell the audience how they can get into see your BitChute.
Yeah, if you go on the Internet, Google BitChute, go to BitChute, and then once you're in their search engine for BitChute, just type in John Robinson 101, three separate words. And that should get you to my channel.
Mr. Jets, BitChute, type in John Robinson 101.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I want our listeners to get every morsel of this meal tonight. Go ahead. Continue on.
So then the second trial came around, and as Monica mentioned earlier, one of the people involved in all Ernst's legal dealings here is Professor Robert Forsan, who had passed away not too long ago. And he was considered, rightly so, to be the number one revisionist on the planet. So, it's a French fellow, a French man, and he was a professor, and he really studied this from point A to point B. And his basic, in the end, his basic comment was, we need to get away from, he said, we said, he said, we need to find somebody who knows something about gas chambers, real gas chambers. He had been doing that, been saying that for years, for decades. And so for the trial, Ernst said, okay, fine, let's see what we can do. So he went and he asked around the American Information Service, and they gave him a list of places of the, I forget how many, three or four prisons in the United States that still execute with gas. And so he asked about them, and two of them, all of them were not interested in helping at all, except for one. I think it was Missouri, I think. And the warden there said, yeah, okay, sure, I'll help you out, all that kind of stuff. But he asked him, would you like to be a witness at the trial? Sure, I'll do that, if you want, et cetera, et cetera. But if you really want to know about the gas chambers and all that stuff, you should contact our consulting engineer, Fred Loyster. He knows all about this. You know, that's his profession, you know, capital punishment. Bingo, that's it. So right away, you get the information, contacted Fred. So he, yeah, okay, well, you know, technically speaking, yeah, sure, you know, it's another job, you know. So we sent Professor Forsan down to meet him in Boston, and they discussed the whole issue, et cetera, et cetera. And he came back, Forsan came back, and said, oh, mon Dieu, Ernst, we got a problem. I said, what's that? He said, Fred Loyster believes in the Holocaust. And Ernst said, why is that a problem? And he said, I used to believe in the Holocaust. You're used to believe in the Holocaust. We all used to believe in the Holocaust, but we don't anymore. So why would Fred be different? Once he sees the facts, maybe he will change his mind. But we're not interested anyway, whether he believes in it or not. What we're interested in is his technical expertise to say, were these facilities gas chambers? Could they have been used for gas chambers? That's what we're interested in. So, okay, he said, well, let's invite him up here, and we can talk to him personally. So we invited him up. He came up to Toronto. He checked through all the revision information that we had concerning Auschwitz. And then he decided, okay, I'll take the job. He wasn't really convinced about all that, but nonetheless, it was a job for him. And he was interested, fascinated to find out what's what. So he said, but before I go, I want you to know, Ernst, that I will not, you know, fudge anything. You know, I will report exactly what I find. Whether, if they couldn't be gas chambers, I will say so, and if they could be, I will say so. And Ernst said, that's exactly what I expect from you, Mr. Loyster, because I don't care about that either. What I want to know is the truth. So bring back whatever you find. That's fine with me. So, okay, Jürgen, you're going off with him as cameraman. And we had a translator, and Fred brought along his new wife. I think they'd only been married maybe 10 days before or something. How was that for a honeymoon in Auschwitz, you know? So, and then they brought along a draftsman and all that kind of stuff. So, as we know, we all flew over there, and it was quite a trip. It was quite a trip. We got there. Of course, Fred took along hammers and chisels and all kinds of other stuff. And we're always thinking, well, you know, how is the border going to deal with all this? You know, if they check our level, how are we going to explain bringing in all these tools and everything? But luckily, they did not look at anything. So we just got in. So we went to all these places. And I remember the first time, this was in February 1988, cold.
Mr. Jürgen, we have to go to snow every break. We'll be right back after this break. I sure hate to interrupt you. This is an amazing interview, people. People, we have Ms. Monica Schaefer and Mr. Jürgen Neumann, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Biden administration is on defense as detention centers are filling up at the border. Congressman Pat Fallon on Newsmax.
Last month, there were over 100,000 people detained crossing the border illegally from Mexico. But we're not testing them for COVID. And then the federal government under Biden says, you know, it's a really good idea. Let's go ahead and send them, disperse them all over the country, untested. And then there's a new strain from Brazil. But apparently they're not following the science.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing a growing list of women who are accusing him of sexual harassment. The latest woman to come out says the governor made inappropriate comments. Alyssa McGrath is the eighth woman to come forward against the governor. Cuomo denies the accusations and refuses to step down. New York's attorney general says they're investigating the allegations. This is USA Radio News.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, get two MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
While President Biden was visiting Atlanta, the CDC gave a presentation about some new coronavirus guidelines for schools. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Dan Naraki.
On Friday, the CDC announced that it was changing its recommendation and that students should now keep 3 feet away from each other instead of the previously recommended six, as long as those students are wearing masks. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb says it's important that the social distancing recommendations are being revisited. He tells CNBC that as we learned more about how the virus was spread, it became clear that 6 feet wasn't as effective.
We implemented it early on based on an assumption that coronavirus was going to spread like influenza, and there had been some prior research that flu spread predominantly through droplets, and if you stayed 6 feet apart from people, it reduced droplet transmission. We've subsequently learned that COVID coronavirus is spreading through aerosols, not just droplets, so probably 6 feet isn't as effective as it would be if this was purely droplet transmission.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, this interview is just going incredibly fast, as you well know. I hadn't said it in a long time, but I dearly love that music. We just had the cutoff there. It was started in Germany in the 1930s. But anyway, listen, we're going right back to Mr. Jürgen Neumann, and man, what one hell of an interview! I'm enjoying this just like I'm sitting in my living room watching a movie or something. But go ahead, Mr. Jürgen, continue on, please, brother.
I'd like to go back to make one comment about the discussion with Fred to send him to Poland. And that was that Ernst has always been a very honorable and honest person. He never misrepresents anything, and he'll always give it to you straight. And he told Fred, are you sure you want to go? Because what's going to happen to you, the pressure that's going to come down on you from the Jews and other things, is going to be horrendous. You're really going to, it's going to be a big problem for you. And Fred replied, what problem? I live in a free country. I don't have any problems.
Yeah, sure.
I said, okay, fine, but I told you, right? So therefore, he knew about that as well when he went over there. Anyway, we're walking up. We walked around for a bit on the one day around the Auschwitz site, but there's nothing we could do because there were so many tourists all the time. Couldn't really get anything done. So therefore, we decided that we're going to go in there early, very, very early, 6 o'clock in the morning. If you go in and out of there, there's no guards or anything. So as we walked up to the Auschwitz I gas chamber, I remember he stopped, so we all stopped. and he looked at it, and we were about, oh, I don't know, 40, 50 feet away, maybe, something like that. He looked at it for, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds or whatever, and he said, this is bullshit. There's something wrong here. So before even going there and checking it out, he already knew, just by looking at the building, that this is nonsense, right? So he was being educated, right? Same thing, by experience. So we went in there and started doing our thing. We hammered and chiseled examples out of the walls, of stone that's going to be sent back and be checked out by a laboratory to see what content it was, etc. Measured everything up. And it was so cold. I mean, I've worked in construction in and out of, in winters and all that kind of stuff. But I swear inside that Auschwitz One so-called gas chamber, that's got to be the coldest I've ever felt, ever. I was holding the camera with one hand, had my other hand gloved in my pockets because it was so cold, and had to switch over once in a while. And I was really seriously wondering whether the camera was actually going to do anything, whether I'd come back and the tape was going to be blank or something because it was so cold. But fortunately, not. So anyway, checked it all out, went to Birkenau, walked up and down that place, checked out everything. His dedication really amazed me, really did. We got to the, what they call it, Crema 2, the cremation building 2, which is supposed to be one of the gas chambers and stuff. And, of course, those ones are kind of all ruins. And he thought, okay, well, you can see there's a hole there. And you can look down inside in the basement of the building. I thought, well, where the gas chamber would have been if there was one, right? He said, okay, I'm going to go down there and take samples. So he went over to it, tried to get into the hole, and he couldn't because his thick jacket wouldn't fit. So here we are, and he said, well, heck with that. So he takes his jacket off. That's dedication. Then he crawls down inside there and sloshing through the water and taking the samples, and I was just totally impressed. So anyway, went there, and then we went to Majdanek, and while we were in Majdanek, our translator, figured he would go to the archives and, see what he could find there. And while he was in there, the archivist, this is as I remember it, the archivist said to him, oh, you don't happen to be part of a group here with Americans and stuff looking at the camps and stuff. And he's thinking, well, yeah, okay, yeah. Yes, I'm part of that group. So what of it? He said, well, we have this message and we're looking for you. The government's looking for you. Oh, yeah? He said, about what? He said, well, as it turns out, Mrs. Loyster, like I said, they just married 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And she had two sons from previous marriage. And her one son was in the American Air Force. And at the base that he was stationed at in the United States, he got killed in a car accident. And they were looking for him to inform them that this is what happened. So, wow. So he comes back to the group, something. And we stop what we were doing, and he tells Fred and his wife the story, what's going on. So Fred right away says, oh, okay, well, we'll cut everything short, and we should make our way to Warsaw to the American Embassy and get this all straightened out, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Mrs. Loyster says, no, we won't do that. She's obviously upset, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't tell you enough of how much respect I had for her. She said, we're almost done this thing, and it would be a waste at this point in time not to finish. So let's finish what we're doing here in Majdanek, and then we'll go. So that was, to me, that just blew me away. It's totally amazing.
Yes, so, that okay. is. That is quite the story. Wow.
So we went back.
Go ahead.
So we got back, and all the samples and everything. Oh, interesting part, too. As we were leaving Poland, they wanted to put our baggage through scanners. I guess we're getting on the plane for security purposes or whatever. We thought, oh, well. Okay, so anyway, so they start putting our stuff on the, thing to go through the scanners. And so I'm standing there looking at the scanner screens, and you can see everything that's inside of it. But the two chairs where the people sit, to watch the screens to see what's in the luggage were empty. Nobody was watching. Why they put the scanners in the first place, I don't know. But anyway, so we got off easy that way.
God was with you.
Came back, took the samples, and he took it to his Alpha Laboratories. And they were checking for, of course, they didn't tell him the truth of where it came from because somebody might fudge things because of the political nature, right? So we just told them that it was an industrial accident and wanted to know, you know, what the content of the samples was. And so the samples came back, proved positive, no gas chambers. Moisture report was written, published, the rest of it's all history. And then the trial came along. He was presented in the trial, and we got the head person from Alpha Laboratories who was in charge of doing the samples, checking the samples there. His name was Roth, and got him down to the trial, and he said, yes, he did this. Yes, these are the proper results and so on and so forth. So there you go. I don't care how many people can now say, oh, yeah, I saw the gas. Oh, yeah, all these people died in there. Sorry, we're not gas chambers. You know? And since then, Fred, of course, has been asked, so what happened to all these people? Fred says, how would I know? All I know is these buildings weren't gas chambers. You know, you guys can play with numbers. You guys can talk whatever you want to talk about. But that has nothing to do with these buildings that are claimed to be gas chambers in these former German concentration camps. Simple as that. And, of course, videos of him are on the net, et cetera, on my site and others, where he very, very well documents and says what needs to be said. So basically, speaking to me, the rest of it's all details and stuff, but there's one of the basic cruxes. You can't, as David Irving, famous British historian, said, chemistry is chemistry. You know, in other endeavors in history and stuff, it's always somebody's opinion can matter about what they think of all these things. But chemistry is 100%. It is Oregon. It is what it is.
This is the real evidence, isn't it, Jürgen? This is the real evidence. They always tell us, and I've heard this, you know, many, 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 many times from people who didn't like what I had to say about it. They said, this is the most well-documented event in history. There's more evidence proving the Holocaust than any other event in history. But why do they then forbid evidence in, for example, the German court of law, and I think probably in many other places too, that they don't even allow the evidence to be presented, and it is illegal to bring evidence that would, you know, explain how you reached your conclusions or that would support, and they do not allow any witnesses either. I mean, this, you know, I can prove that with just the story of our speech crime trial in 2018 against my brother and myself that took place in Germany. They criminalize evidence, and yet they tell us this is the singular most evidenced event in history. But there you presented
Listen,
the Monica, real
we have
evidence.
To go to We have to go to our final break. Lord have mercy. I wish we had another hour. People, we've got to go to our final break. This is hour two, Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We have Miss Monica Schaefer on and Mr. Jürgen Newman. We'll be right back with the conclusion. It's a nice interview. Be right back.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
"Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?"
"Nope. Never had a lesson."
"Yes, indeed, you have to say something."
Well, precious family out there, Blood River Radio family, I'm sad to tell you this is the last segment of tonight's show, but have no fear. God willing, Mr. Juergen will be coming back, because you know what? It's taking longer to go through this than I thought it would. We're probably going to have to add another instead of a we're probably going to have another series, another segment before we do the final roundtable, when we have the Miss Monica on, Mr. Juergen on, Mr. Fred. When we have those on to do a roundtable questionnaire thing, they'll have a roundtable. Then we'll probably take some questions. I know a couple of one of my co-hosts was got some questions for sure. But listen, what we're doing, like I said earlier, we're fighting the devil's lie. And I think, you know what, not to be too theatrical, but I think the devil is really PO'd right now, because I think we have just slaughtered, we have absolutely shredded the fairy tale of this so-called Holocaust. Did you know, I'm just going to add this, I'm going to shut up, not one cadaver, not one dead person was ever autopsied. There's never been one single autopsy taken that brought forth evidence of an execution by Cyclone B or any other type of gas like that. The measurements that Mr. Fred Leuchter, the engineer, the world-famous engineer, took when he went over there, the geographical evidence, the measurements, the blueprints did not match up with the so-called official Eisenhower submission documents proving the so-called Holocaust. And you know, that's just the investigation they did was so in depth. We can't cover but just a partial of it on this show tonight. But my God, the devil is powerful. I can't believe what he's done to our people in the world. But anyway, with that, Mr. Juergen, please continue on. I'll turn it over to you, Miss Monica. Do you have any fiery questions for this segment for Mr. Neumann? Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yes, thank you. There is one thing that I really did want, Juergen, if you would just tell the story. You talked about it on a Race and Reason show in 1987, and it blew my mind when you talked about this largest raid ever in Germany of people's homes. Tell us what that was about, please. If you would.
Yes, back in the 80s, of course, just like every other democracy, West Germany, so in its constitution, does all the usual, you know, we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of this, we have freedom of that, et cetera, et cetera. Except it seems when it comes to this one particular question. So, of course, Ernst had a very large basic group of supporters, thousands and thousands of supporters around the world, be it North America, even South America, South Africa, Australia, and of course Germany, had thousands of supporters in Germany, and strictly against the laws of that country, even in the 80s, after, I think it was not long after the postal hearing thing, that the police took the names from what they have over in Germany is postal financial accounts. So it's kind of like a bank account that you can pay things from, but it's run by the post office. And of course, the law says that's all private. You can't have their names, all that kind of stuff. But The authorities forced them to give them their names. It was over 2,000 people that were raided by the authorities, police over in Germany, stuff at that time, just because of Ernst Lundell. They were there. They were looking for Ernst Lundell's videotapes. They were looking for Ernst Lundell's books and publications and newsletters and all that kind of stuff. And the police were very rough on the people, even though some of them were like in their 70s and 80s. They were still pushing them around and, you know, just basically wrecking their place looking for things, etc. It was an absolute disgusting display of tyranny. You know, I'm sure, you know, if somebody did that to you people in the United States, I'm sure you would be outraged, and rightly so, etc. Now, people sometimes ask, go ahead.
Yeah, 10,000 people were involved. That's like between the judges, the state prosecutors, and the police.
Yes.
You say 10,000 people, and it's the largest raid ever in Germany on people's homes, of people's homes. And this, think about it, this is about words. This is not about, you know, people who are going around robbing banks or vandalizing buildings or raping and murdering. No, this was about words, mailings. And I find it incredible because, like you say, this was not that long after the Canadian Postal Service cut off Ernst Lundell's mail, which is completely unconstitutional, unlawful, everything under the book. Everything in the book. I mean, it is unbelievable how they have to work so hard about keeping their lies intact. You see, truth does not fear investigation. I always say that. And yet this information, this was about words, and this was the largest raid ever. But carry on. I just get so, you know, wound up about it because it's just so remarkable. But carry on, Jürgen, about that.
Hello?
Yes, the
Cameron.
What else I was going to say about it was the question comes out: why the Holocaust?
Well, people,
why is that the one that has all the laws against
right
it?
Now, so I don't know if we got taken off the air.
Oh, we've been cut off.
I'll finish up right here a little bit. My glasses back
okay,
on.
Okay, just for recording purposes.
This interview.
Why the Holocaust?
Like to go back
I have in front of me. I have in front of me an article from the Toronto Star, biggest newspaper in Canada. Headline says, "Memory of the Holocaust."
Everything I have been
told
in life. I'll be 74 years old. Let's see, today is the 20th. In 2 weeks, in 3 days, I'll be 74 years old, April the 6th. And everything I have been taught from grammar school to this point, especially in grammar school, junior high school, about history was a lie, a gigantic lie. I feel like we're living, I really do, I feel like we're living in some kind of a bubble, a gigantic Earth-sized bubble. I believe there was a movie one time called The Matrix, which I never got to see. I wished I could see it. I know that movie, the terms came up called the red pill, the blue pill, the white pill. But, you know, I'm just freaked out. I really am, people. It's spooky. I have trouble sleeping at times, especially here recently, since I've seen evidence. For instance, I've watched the movie, and this all ties together, Hellstorm, a movie that was sent to me by Dave Gaharie. The movie Sacrificing Liberty, a 4.5-hour documentary. What has been done to us American citizens and our people all over the world, good white Christian people, is beyond anything a normal human can dream up. In fact, the lie is so gigantic that we just can't cope with it. We can't intellectually own it. We can't even imagine it. A normal white Christian person, we can't get down to the depth of these lies, because you know what? And they're being perpetrated and spread around like flies spreading their disease by these Jews, mainly, you know, from of their father, the devil. My book that I have, letters from cell number 7, that letters that were written by Ernst Zundel himself. There's a quote in there. He quoted a rabbi. I don't have my book with me. I wished I did. But the rabbi, I'll kind of give you the gist of what he said. The Jews themselves do not, they know the so-called Holocaust was a lie. They know that it was all a crock, you know. But he said that it was a religion. I'm going to keep talking away until I hear the music. We have a little difficulty there. But anyway, I'm going to go back where I was. You know, Ernst Zundel was completely deplatformed. People, does that ring a bell? Do you see any parallels there of that, of Ernst Zundel, what's going on here in the United States? You know, you can't have Facebook. You can't have Twitter. You can't have anything like that. If you say one friggin' thing that does not go along with Satan and his minions, you're deplatformed. Well, that's the same way that, I mean, it's history. I was telling my wife the other day, history does not repeat itself. History continues on. It never changes. It doesn't have to repeat because it continues on and on and on. You know, I think we covered previously in the previous show that Eisenhower, that low-life piece of garbage, probably was instrumental in having General Patton killed because General Patton wanted to come back and spill the beans. Eisenhower was one of the ones that tried to build these stinking death camps. He did a shoddy job. He was a shoddy general. Never fired a shot in anger. He was never in a friggin' battle. He was promoted over 46 senior people. You know why? Because his mother was a Jewish. People, I'm telling you flat out, I don't care if you call me an anti-Semite, what you call me, but if these people will go, if these Jews, the Antichrist Jews, if they will go and repent of their ways and seek the face of God and beg for his forgiveness, they too can be saved. But like I said, precious few of them will. And they're the ones working, they're doing the bidding of their father, the devil, making our life hell on earth. The devil, he hates the truth. Anyway, people, I see we've come to the end of the show. Thank you. I'm so sorry that my sound screwed up. I couldn't hear anything. I'm glad I went out. But listen, we will get Mr. Jurgen on another for one more segment because I see right now we're going to have to extend this series. But dear people, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. God bless you. And pray for me. Pray for Blood River Radio. Pray for Liberty News Radio. Pray for Jay. Pray for Cameron. Pray for Sam. God, thank you, people. We'll see you same time, same place, next Saturday with the 27th. Good night.